Herzlich willkommen zu Perspektiven, Gespräche zu Themen der Wissenschaft Wirtschaftsinformatik. Heute spreche ich mit Peter Chen, der das Entity-Relationship-Modell, einen Ansatz zur Datenmodellierung, in den 1970er Jahren entwickelt hat. Und das Gespräch hat sich ad hoc ergeben auf der 36. Tagung Conceptual Modeling in Valencia. Und ich sitze jetzt sprichwörtlich in der Sonne von Valencia und spreche diesen Text ein. Das Gespräch hat auf Englisch stattgefunden. Es ist also das erste Gespräch in der Reihe Perspektiven, das in englischer Sprache erfolgt. Wir haben uns in einem kleinen Café an einen Tisch gesetzt und entsprechend stark sind die Hintergrundgeräusche. Durch die Nachbereitung der Audiospuren sollte dennoch, so hoffe ich, eine verständliche Aufnahme entstanden sein. Und ich wünsche nun viel Spaß mit dem Gespräch mit Peter Chen. Es geht um die Zeit, in der er sich Gedanken über das Entity-Relationship-Modell gemacht hat, wie er dazu gekommen ist, und eine kurze Retrospektive schließt dann unser Gespräch ab. I'm here at the 36th International Conference on Conceptual Modeling, and it's my great pleasure to welcome Professor Peter Chen to the podcast. You did work on the entity relationship model, and it has become a classic reading in computer science and software engineering and in business informatics, and it is taught around the world in these fields to the present day. Your work on the ER model is commonly viewed as one of the foundational contributions to the field of conceptual modeling. When did you start to work on the ER model, and what did initiate your work on the model?
At that time, I was working for a company called Honeywell. At that time, Honeywell was still in a computer business. They developed a database system called IDMS, which was invented by Dr. Charlie Bachman, who won the Turing Award for that contribution. And at that time, I joined a team of 10 people working on so-called advanced systems. So involving about 10 very technical advanced person, including Mr. Bachman, and I was the youngest person there, a fresh PhD graduate from Harvard. And at that time, I was in charge of developing, trying to look at what kind of thing can be uniformly applied to different kind of file system, database system. So I came up with the idea of a conceptual model to do that.
So you already started talking about your initial intentions you wanted to achieve. What were your initial intentions when you started to work on the paper and on the AR model?
Right. After 1 year there, I joined the MIT Sloan School of Management as a management school. And I find out there's a different kind of needs. You know, in Honeywell, I was looking from the a designer point of view, designing systems. And in a management school, I have to work with the application people, the management people. They have a different kind of consideration. They want to see how can they put the information into computers, organize information, and also retrieve organizedly and efficiently. So it turned out the conceptual model can be useful in that aspect.
And the paper carries a subtitle. It says, toward a unified view of data. And does that capture your intention with the ER model?
Yes, because, you know, you probably remember at that time, the relational model just started. Dr. Ted Kott, he proposed the relational model and creating a lot of interest from the academic people. On the industry side, we have this you know, IDMS and other type of file system, IDMS a database system. Then the relational, Dr. Cott, also creating something called relational model. That time there was no implementation, but already a lot of interest from the researcher. So there's a debate between the network model, relational model, and then there's IBM research, also have a leader called Michael Senko. He's also proposing another model. So there's a lot of confusion, a lot of debates during that period of time. So I find out, you know, if we start with the concept called entity and relationship, we can, you know, develop, translate to no matter which one, you know, model you're talking about, relational or network model or another model. So that triggered me to put the title there, towards a unified view of data.
And the time we're talking about is about the mid-1970s. When did you start thinking and working on the ER model? Is that 19...
That was in the early 70s. Okay.
Okay. So we were talking about the beginning of the 1970s, and then you worked on a paper?
Yes.
When did you submit the paper?
I submitted a paper, actually first submit to the first very large database conference, BODB, the first one. And the first one, they select several papers, and I was one of the papers selected and put into a new journal called ACM Transaction on Database System. So the editor liked my paper, so they put down the first paper of that journal. So later on, the ACM Transaction, several years later, they even advertised and for my paper as the attraction for the journal, ACM Transactional Database System.
And did you get any reviews on the paper? Do you remember that?
Yes, I get the reviews, and you're including one of the reviews. Later on, I find out was reviewed by Dr. Carr.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dr. Carr was written like 3 pages of reviews, and you know, some are very good points, some are praising, some are very critical, so it was very interesting.
Thank you. The reviews you got, did you remember, or do you remember any memorable comments in the reviews?
Basically, one of the critical points was there's no need to have the concept of entity or relationship. There's no need for that. And that's the strongest point, because everything could be just uniform structure, like a relation. But ironically, it turned out, I think probably 5 or 10 years later, Dr. Cott even proposed something, you utilize the same concept, entity relationship, in a revised model he proposed. So that was very, very interesting. And also, probably 10 or 15 years later, Dr. Cott and Dr. Date, they have a consulting company organizing so-called training seminar, trade shows around the world. And I was invited to be a keynote speaker together with Dr. Cott, you know, giving speeches around the world. So that was very interesting.
And that meant that your proposal with the entity relationship model was well received within the database community.
That's correct. That was, you know, more than they expected, and more than I expected too.
That was my next question. Did you realize the significance of your work in 1970s when you were working on the idea of the ER model?
I didn't realize the impact. At that time, I was very enthusiastic, and I was thinking probably as many young researchers the same kind think their idea is probably one of the best in the world. But it turned out really to be one of the very influential ones. So that was a little bit surprised me. And actually, I ran into several people, very senior people later on, and they were surprised to tell me, they say, oh, you know, many computer ideas after 20 years disappear, but your idea seems to be keep on going, and very, very seems to be one of a lifetime type of contribution ideas.
And it is. It is still taught in almost all courses initially to conceptual modeling, right?
That's correct. It's still going on. It's still being taught. It's very, you know, because it's, I think it's a very fundamental concept. It's not basically my idea, because I look back even 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, the philosopher talked about entities, okay, whatever, relationship, existence. So people are debating that, arguing with that. So it's a very important and fundamental concept. What I did basically formalize that and also make the linkage to the information system. And that's probably small contribution.
The ER model bears resemblance to essential ontological concepts discussed in the philosophical field of ontology. That goes back to Aristotle and 2,000 years ago. Did you consider this work when you were working on the ER model? Were you aware of that?
I wasn't aware of that. But later on, I was become aware of that type of discussions. And also, I was getting into actually a different dimension. I was looking into the historical languages, like the, for example, the Egyptian hieroglyphs, and also the Chinese written languages, and find out there are some commonalities. So it turned out, so I wrote several papers on that, on the Egyptian hieroglyphs and the Chinese languages, what are the commonalities, what's the differences, because it turned out it's very fundamental to human nature modeling capabilities. How do you conceptualize the world, and how do you put that into a representation? Okay, it turned out some of the Egyptian hieroglyphs are very similar to the Chinese languages, characters. So that was triggered my interest. So actually, I purchased about 20 books in Egyptian hieroglyphs. Okay, sometime I become a university expert on that.
And interestingly, there is also in the English language, and you also published a paper on that, there is a grammatical resemblance with the English language. You can take verb, intransitive, transitive verbs and map them onto entities and relationships.
Right. That's the, I know, also a very important discovery, I mean, at least from my point of view, because it turned out in the information system analysis, some people, they have some company, they have a lot of description in English or natural languages, and they like to have a standard way to convert into some kind of ER diagram type of representation. So it turned out my paper helped in that. Actually, there are some big company, consulting company, whatever. I get a phone call from them. They are using that to train their system analyst, training their programmer to do that, converting their natural language description to the more structured representation.
Mm-hmm. As how important did you consider the graphical notation when you were working on the ER model?
The graphic notation probably turned out to be my Chinese background heritage, because it turned out the Chinese language is a pictorial characters. So the graphic things help in that representation. Many people say Confucius said, one picture is better than 1,000 words. Actually, Confucius never say that, but everybody quoting Confucius, okay? But no matter who say that, but we all understand, one picture probably worth many words. So I think that really helps.
And it is one of the essential aspects that helps people communicate about databases, about schemas, about the world, if you will.
Yes. So the graphic notation is really very easy to help people, easy to understand, to conceptualize.
When you were designing the graphical notation, did you have any specific goals that you were following? How did you arrive at the rectangular and the rhomb as?
Okay, I think at that time, I also was influenced by Dr. Charlie Bachman's. Well, he also have some kind of network diagram. So I think that's also the, easy for me to modify that, adapt that. Okay.
And the basic concepts of the entity relationship model, entity and relationship and entity type or entity set, how did you arrive at those? Did you have any specific goals or objectives when you were thinking about the model?
Right, because you probably... some people only talk about entity. The reason I articulate, there are two concepts. One is entity, the other is relationship. Probably you heard about in the Chinese culture, Chinese community, they talk about something called guanxi. Guanxi means relationship, okay? It means human. The human behavior is not just stand alone. You have to, you're dealing with other people. So that's the relationship. So that probably triggered me to think in terms of you are not just looking at one individual, one entity, or one building. You look at the environment, how the entity interact with the environment. So that's the relationship.
So there is a connection between the Chinese cultural thinking, if you will, and the ER model.
Yes, I think that's... I didn't realize that until the, probably 20 years later, because I give a lecture around the world, and one of the most frequently asked questions is, how could you think about this? And we didn't think about that, okay? What triggered you to think about this kind of concept? People, seems to me they say, gee, that's... could be thought about somebody else. So after a while, I say, maybe because I have something other people probably didn't have. It's a combination of more than one culture, okay?
Yes.
So that's probably the mixing of the Chinese culture with the Western culture. And another thing made me to think about that is when I was a graduate student at Harvard, I was attending a talk by a famous architect called I.M. Pei. I.M. Pei is in charge of designing the, in France, there's a roof, there's a several famous building. in Paris, the underground pyramid was designed by him.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave the lecture to me. I think it will be very good for many people around the world, even in Germany, in other places. The young people have to think about this. Don't think about yourself as a disadvantage. At that time, he gave a lecture to the Chinese student club at Harvard. They say, you guys came from Taiwan, China, Singapore, whatever, but you thought you may be disadvantaged because English, Western culture, is not your first culture, but actually for himself, he's making a name in the architecture field is because he can combine the Eastern culture with the Western culture together with a unique design. So I think that's a very valuable lesson.
And that's a very positive viewpoint.
Right, that's correct.
That is to be remembered, actually.
Right, that's to be remembered.
Yeah. In retrospect, after 40 years, would you change anything to the model? Would you do anything differently?
Probably would not be, because many people thought about different extensions, and I thought about different extensions. The extension is good, but probably more specific area-specific applications. But I think one of the things the original year model was so successful is because of the simplicity. Okay, that's also a very important thing. For things, if it's too complicated, they maybe will run into different kind of roadblocks.
Yeah. Do you have any final comment for us?
I just find out it's just for the people starting in this field, and I think there are so many great ideas needs to be discovered, and I think you find the things best for you and find things you think is important to you, and don't just work hard, and you will be successful. Sometimes you will be surprised. The impact will be more than you expected.
Professor Peter Chen, thank you very much for the interview.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.